We've been ministering on growing in grace, and I've had somewhat of a revelation come to me. I'm writing this book that the Lord has put on my heart, and it deals with the different levels of spiritual growth that I believe that we go through, that are shown throughout the New Testament, Paul's writings. You can find these things in the Bible. The levels of growth that we go through, you know, when you become born again, you're a babe in Christ, and then you grow from a babe to a child-level Christian, and from a child-level Christian spiritually, you become a young person, or young adult, or young in age, or young growth level, greater than a little child, but not quite mature. And then you step from a young adult to a mature Christian. And then from there, some would probably market this or harp on this, but I believe the Word of God tells us that He is waiting for us to be manifest sons and daughters of the Most High God, spiritually mature Christians, those who are weighing out and doing all that the Word of God confesses about them in the earth. Amen? So we've been teaching about that, but I told you that I got a revelation. I am not trying to say that I know everything. I hope you guys know that. I'm following after the Spirit of God. The things that I'm sharing is the things that He shared with me. Do I have them all down? No, I don't have them all down. You know, but that doesn't mean that He doesn't want to share them with you as well. You know, there's a couple of scriptures, and I'll talk about those in a little bit, and maybe I'll mention them here, that you probably already know. But I'll share them with you. The Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord comes, when the Comforter comes, when the Spirit comes, right, He said He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. The Spirit leads you and guides you into all truth. In one place it says that the anointing on the inside of you shall teach you. I think it's in 1 John 2:20. You have no need for any man to teach you, for that anointing which you have from God teaches you all you need to know. So you already have what you need. We talked at the beginning about God sharing with you everything you need. You got everything you need to advance and grow in God. But we're hoping and praying that you get from these messages. Pastor's been teaching on spiritual maturity using the Gospel of John and Jesus' life. And some things I believe that Paul shares with us about growing in grace. There's a couple of scriptures, references that we start off with in our introduction. 1 Peter 3, for those of you who have your Bible, you can turn there. We're going to read two verses. Now, I like to read and preach from the Amplified Bible, which just amplifies some of the words. It gives definitions sometimes it gives the Greek background for the word. It just kind of amplifies the scripture a little bit more for us. It's not adding to, it's just giving some definition. Let's put it that way. 1 Peter 3:17 says, "Therefore, let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men who distort doctrine and fall from your own steadfastness of mind, knowledge, truth, and faith, but grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So Peter is encouraging us to grow spiritually grow. And you can attest this to your own life, that when you were first born again, you really didn't know a whole lot about God. And you sought after Him. You began to go to church. You began to read your word. You probably got some devotionals. You probably met up with some friends who were saved. And y'all prayed and talked and gathered together. All because you were what? You were hungering for more of God. That thing that happened on the inside of you that, you know, I had a friend tell me his testimony on being saved. It's a funny story. I'll tell you. On campus, Virginia Tech's campus, there's a choir called the, it was a gospel choir, mostly black kids. And there were some white kids in there also, but mostly black. And they were going on a ministry. There was a choir, so they were going to minister at a church. And he wanted to go along. He was not saved. And there were others in that group that wasn't saved as well. So when they were going to this church, they wanted to sing. He liked to sing, so he was in the choir. And so he went. There was this one young lady that was with them who, she had a really high-pitched note, high-pitched voice, and every time she talked, she'd get excited and start crying, just irritated the heck out of him. And he was like, oh, my God, would she just please shut up? And anyway, they got to this place, and they sang, and afterwards, there was a minister there, a young man, who asked them, the choir members, because he knew that some of them weren't saved. He says, those of you who are here and you got a tingling in your heart that you want to know God more, come on over here. He took them into another room, a side room. So seven other members of the choir at that time went into the room. He happened to be one of those. His purpose for going in the room was not to get saved. His purpose was to go and see how, because this girl that was irritating him, he wanted to go see what she was going to get. Because he was like, she is irritating the heck out of me. I hope Jesus just zap her. So he went to see that. He wanted to see God zap this young lady. So while he was in there, we know how God works, right? While he was in there, the Holy Spirit fell. The minister began to minister, and they were all just, he went to each one and just talked with them and prayed with them, and he got to my friend. And talked with him. He said, do you want to be saved? He says, not really. And he said, you're in the room. He said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to pray for you. He said, will you let me pray? And my friend said, yes. He grabbed his hands. He says, once he touched him, he said, he felt something come over him. And he was looking around and he was looking at the guy. The guy's eyes was closed. His was not, because, he's like, what's going on? And he was looking around the room, trying to figure out what's going on. Everybody else was praying but him. So this young man began to pray with him, and the Spirit of God came over him so powerfully that he said, I could not deny that God was real. He said, and then he said, once he got to the end of the prayer, he said, it was like God took this sheet of darkness and just whoosh. And he said, Kurt, I thought, what in the world is this? He said, all this light came on the inside of his soul. He sensed it, felt it, right, and could determine and minister it to others who asked him about what happened. This sheet, he just called it a sheet of darkness. A sheet just went away. So not intending to be saved, he got saved that day because of the Spirit of God, right? No, nothing really, a lot of us have similar testimonies, I'm sure. But his was so funny because he didn't go for the purpose of being saved. I want to go see her, get her thing from God, whatever it's going to be, so maybe she can not be so loud when she talks. So I said, God just has a plan, right? He just lines us up and gives us whatever bait or hook that catches us. Just seeps us right on in, and he's been saved a long time now, longer than I have. But he was giving me that testimony just recently when I met with him, and we just laughed because God has those times set up for us. Times of what? Times when He will do things on our behalf. Times when He will show Himself to be strong and mighty on our behalf. Times when He'll just come right on in like a flood, causing us to do what? Causing us to grow. We need to grow, and we need to grow spiritually, not just in our knowledge of God, not just in the logos of the Word of God, not just reading it to know what the Scripture says, but we need to know it in here. We need to know it in ourselves. Ephesians 4:11, if you want to turn there. And you know these scriptures. And I'll tell you later. Let's just go there. I'm going to read five verses. from Ephesians, and I'm reading out of Amplified, so it's pretty long, but it's also about growing. And this is verse 11, his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers and representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church. If there is no growth, if there is no advancement that you and I should have or do, why would he put that verse in there? To fully equip us to become perfect saints. What need for us to be built up? If we've already got everything we need after we get born again. And there are some people who believe that. They have everything. There's nothing more. But here he talks about us fully coming into another place with God. The next verse gives it a little bit more detail. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. More defined there, what is it? Spiritual maturity. What growing in spiritual maturity. We need to grow someplace. We don't start off there. We have to grow. So that we are no longer, verse 14, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all of its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. So there is some growing that we need to do. So my inspiration, I did a sermon many years back on growing in grace that I preached here, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let it go. And he continued to minister to me, and I began to write what I believe is a book. We'll see what happens as we go forward. But in these growth levels, he began to tell me there are characteristics of each we can find throughout the Bible, mostly in the New Testament. And Paul preaches about them, growing in grace. What's happening in the new birth? And when you're a newborn babe, what is the sincere milk that we receive from the Lord, or from the Word, that causes us to grow onward to become a childlike stage? Now, we know we're all children of God. Can't get away from that. We'll be that until the time he comes. But there's a level. There's certain characteristics that are associated with that. And so he's been giving me that. He's been giving me those, and I've been going through the Word and writing those down for this particular book. And I've been preaching that to you. We've already been taught through the newborn stage. You guys remember that? I don't know if you remember everything about it. But we've already taught some on the new birth. And we were into the childlike stage now. The first thing I talked about in childlike stage was that the children know the kingdom of God. They know how to access the kingdom. They know they have the keys to the kingdom. They know what the fruit of the kingdom is. They know how to operate in the kingdom. They know all those things about God's kingdom because that's what he's telling them. In one place he says the kingdom of God belongs to the children. So I talked about the kingdom of God, and you could probably get that message from off one of the sites that the church has. From there, we went and talked about next step was, and these were in particular order and not anything that you should seek God. You should do whatever the Spirit of God is telling you to do. But the next step I deal with in the book is walking in the Spirit. The child of God walks in the Spirit. He lives in the Spirit. And so these concepts, I think, sometimes we need to think about it, because I think Christians sometimes, we become a Christian and we get joyful and we're so excited and we just go and do whatever we want to do. And God says, wait a minute, there's some growth that needs to take place. He wants us to grow because there's a place that he's coming to. He's coming back for a church, not a spot or a wrinkle. I think that speaks to me of some mature Christians, some people who know how to operate according to the Word of God, okay? So anyway, I'm writing this book, and I solicited two reviewers, two editors of this particular book. The first one, I didn't have any personal editors. I just sent it off to the publisher and let them do it. But I was not scolded, but I was told that maybe you should let me read the next one from my darling wife. Let me read the rest one. Let me give you some points. She's an excellent writer. She has a master's degree in, I forget what it is, organizational management, bachelor's degree in statistics. So she's a very smart person. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, also, when she read the first book, she said, "Dad, maybe you should let me read." She's also a very good writer. Has a master's degree in information science. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And so they were reading. Now, I gave them my first section of the book almost 5 months ago. And I was like, during Christmas time, I was like, what are you guys doing? Is it that bad? what's going on? They hadn't even gone through it. They, you know, people get busy. So anyway, my daughter started at the new year, and she talked to me. God has been dealing with her some things, and she's said, oh, this book is right along with what God is wanting me to learn. So she was going to take the book and kind of go through it in that way. She had a question to me, and the question was this, and it was a very simple question. And I didn't think about it. Well, I did think about it, but I didn't think about putting it in the book because I felt like that everybody knows how to grow in grace. And this is what she asked me. How do I grow in grace? She came out. I don't know how. I see that in this newborn section that you're teaching that there are some things that I need in my life. How do I get those things into my life? How do I kind of, you know, what do I do? Is basically what she said. And I struggled with this because I'm not your Holy Ghost. And that's why I felt like this is the Holy Ghost's area. He teaches you the things that you need to know. He gives you all those things. But yet, he dealt with me and he said, well, you need to give some kind of summary about it because there's lots of ways to grow, definitely. He said, but he wanted me to just give a little bit. So this is what I want to do this morning, something that I put at the beginning of the book that you guys didn't hear, but I'm going to share that with you now. How to grow in grace. Because grace is what, sometimes a very nebulous kind of word that we say, well, what is grace? We know that we're saved by grace through faith, right? We define grace, I believe the pastor has a message on this, as God's ability to do in us what we cannot do ourselves. God's grace is that gift of God. So how do you grow in something that you don't really have any control over, right? And it seems so out there. And then there's another term that's kind of, it's not really parallel, it's just kind of a different definition, grace and mercy. People talk when they think they're the same thing and they're not. Grace and mercy are two different things. Grace is the God's ability to do in you what you couldn't do. So you couldn't save yourself. It was God that was the one doing that. You believed and his grace then took over and salvation's gift was given to you. Mercy, when you obtain mercy, and you can obtain mercy to find grace, or grace to find mercy, is when you are not dealt the punishment, the penalty, for the thing that you did or that you deserve. God gives you mercy. The penalty has been removed. You don't have to go to hell. It's because of God's mercy. So, but he didn't say grow in mercy, he said grow in grace. Right? He said grow in God's grace. So this is where he took me as I, you know, as my daughter talked with me and I began to meditate upon this, the Spirit of God. This, he dealt with me over the time that we were in fasting and praying this January. So how do we increase and grow in grace? Well, we know that according to Ephesians 2:8, we are what, saved by grace through faith. So it's your faith, you believing, trusting in God, has caused the grace of God to come to you. Right? As you believe. So you can almost kind of think about, well, then if I increase in faith, then I must be increasing in grace. Can you make that correlation? Growing in grace can be seen as growing in faith. Now, faith is believing in our heart, right? Faith is confessing the word of God with our mouths and then doing whatever action deemed necessary to confirm that we have this belief. Some people think that's, what's the word? It's intrinsic. That once you have faith in God and you trust God, something is going to come out of you. Some action is going to eventually come because you're believing. It's in your heart. Your heart tells you what to do. So if you have faith in God, something along that line, according to that faith, is how some action will come from you. So if faith is increasing in grace, and I give an example about believing in your heart and faith, and we all did it, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Oh, I just get this. Let's go read it. Most of you know it. I think it's Romans. That's a 10, 9, and 10. If thou shalt, this is King James. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth his confession is made unto salvation. So you, with your heart you believe is the key thing that you get from your salvation journey. So throughout the Gospels, Jesus is always, he talks to the disciples, and you guys who've read some of the Gospels know he's always, he would do something, and they would not know what was going on, and he would say to them, "Oh, ye of little faith," or, "Man, where's your faith?" You know, he would always kind of give them a jab about the increase in their faith. So we know that faith can be increased even through the words of Jesus. So he's ministering the word, they not get it, and then he says, "Where's your faith?" So the word then must be connected to faith. We hear John 1:1 says that, you know, God is a word. I think we read that during pastor's teaching. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And if you jump down to the 14th verse, you see, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that word is Jesus. Jesus is the word. So as he's ministering the word, right, he's asking them to, you guys' faith need to increase. But then, you know, in that same Romans chapter, in chapter 10, we get a key from Paul. And he's just trying to move us along. to increasing in God's grace, increasing in the faith of God, believing in the Word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, and a lot of you know this one, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes. Faith is what? Built. Faith is increased. Faith comes to you from you hearing the Word of God. So the more you read and hear the Word of God, the more faith comes. So if you want to increase your faith, you need to, come on, you know it, hear the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is one way of hearing. Of course, we know, because when you read, you are reading to yourself, so you're hearing it in your head. Reading it out loud, I think, is better, because your ears get to tell to what it is that you're saying. So faith comes by hearing. So grace, growing in grace, if we're talking about growing in grace, which is increasing our faith, which is faith in the Word of God, then reading the Word of God is causing our faith to increase, therefore increasing our grace. You're growing in grace. When you and I are hearing and reading and studying and meditating and praying the Word of God. So if you got something that's not taking place in you that you desire to have in your life, you find out in the Scripture where the promise of God is, that Word, and you begin to hear it the way Jesus wants you to hear it. Read it. Get in communion with the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, teach me about this. And her thing, my daughter's thing, was she was on patience. And so she was asking God to teach her about patience. you all been there when you were baby Christians. but you get this progression, right, to growing in the grace of God. Okay, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Let me read that out of the Amplified. It just has just a sentence more. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. So he's just talking about the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. And I throw a little bit more in there, reading, studying, listening, meditating, praying. All those things are part or are situated with hearing. They're like synonyms for hearing. And if you do all that or do one of those things, faith is coming to you. You say, well, what? But before you know it, let's take a week out of your life and begin you being to meditate about what God says about a certain thing on Sunday. By that next Sunday, something would have taken hold of you in your spirit, man, to where you have some action connected to what you have been reading or studying or praying about. You say, I don't believe that. Well, it may take longer, depending on what it is. Some of us have some habits and some addictions and some things in us that takes a little longer to get out. But for the most part, the Word of God, if you want to take it for what it says, it takes hold immediately. Now, there's a caveat to this. I talked about faith just a little bit because I think sometimes I believe it. You can say, I believe it, and then nothing happens. You say, well, I'm believing this, but nothing's taking place. Well, when you go to James, we know James talk about being a doer of the Word as opposed to just hearing the Word. He challenges us. He said, show me your faith by you just saying it, and I'll show you the works of my faith by you looking at the works. You guys remember that scripture? Do I need to go over there and read it a little bit? Because he's basically saying that if faith has taken hold of some part of your heart, if it's in there, something's coming out. You will do what you believe. You will do what you believe. You will do what you believe. So you can always go to the other side of that. Now, I didn't think I was like this, but I think I am a black and white person that, you know, it's either one way, this way, this way, right? Is it this way or is this way? You will believe what's in your heart. So if it's you're not doing it, then it must not be in your heart. That's the way I think. I think, well, dog, it's not in there. I need to get it in there. So I go to the Word to get more of what God is saying to me so that I can get it in my heart so I can produce an action that on that belief. And what I meant before by being intrinsic is that, right? You put it in your heart is automatically working. It's part of you. It's the thing that, oh, you love, and it's a part of you. Everything is in my, I do it. I do whatever's in there automatically, right? But some people, it's not. It's not automatic. Some people is like, I got to put some more in there, and I got to think about what I'm going to do. And some people do it that way. They have a hard time putting it in their heart to do it. So they'll do something when it's not quite in their heart, but by them doing it, it then begins to settle in their heart. So it can work both ways. And you say, well, why is that so? Because that's the way that God has built us. Let's see if I can find this in James. Verse 22, chapter 1 of James, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not mere listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully in his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, the word, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. So there's a doing that comes along with the word of God. So, and I say that because I think if faith is not complete, then you're not quite growing in grace. Without it being complete, without it being both, you believing and then some action that follows because you believe. Now, that action is between you and God. You say, God, what is the action that you want me to do? Right? Some people's actions may be, you need to go over and hug that person over there. Somebody's action may be, oh, you need to preach the word. Somebody's action may be, you need to give over here. Somebody, yeah. So the actions are in conjunction with what the Spirit of God is telling you, what's in your heart to do that corresponds with that. And you can imagine repeating something over and over and over again, right? Year after year after year after year after year. Pretty soon, it's a part of who you are. You automatically do it. It's just, you just do it. Nothing. And you're doing it, people are watching you, and somebody will come up to you and go, oh my. You did blah, blah, blah. I saw you do blah, 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 blah. It just blessed me. And you kind of look at them, you saw me do what? And you don't even realize that you're operating according to the word of God, using your faith to cause the thing that to happen. All right? So I think we got it, those pieces in line, growing in grace, growing in faith, growing in the word or hearing the word to allow faith to come to us, to grow, to believe in our heart. Right? The word, so that we can then do what it says. So that's simple, I think. I think that's concise. It's a whole lot more to it, definitely. You know, that's not just what I mentioned to you, but I think if you had those principles, then it will allow you to take some of the characteristics that you see in the newborn birth that we talked about the child of God, like the kingdom of God. Some people don't understand the kingdom of God. So what are you going to do? How do you get more understanding? How do you get more faith in the kingdom? Well, you begin to read those scriptures that talked about the kingdom of God. Read them, study them, man. I'm telling you, it'll light you up. because you begin to realize who you are in Christ and why you are settling for struggling with the devil who is under your feet. A defeated foe, he's already been cast into hell. God already has a place prepared for him. He's already been judged for his sin that he did many, many times or years ago. I don't know how long it was. But you and I, he's a foe, definitely. You know, we do deal with him. We deal with the enemy and all his constructs. You know, we are tempted. But we don't have to succumb to them when we begin to learn who we are in God, who we are in Christ. And that we have the kingdom that we live in is so far above him. All right? So this is why you want to grow in grace. This is why you want to grow according to God. Because all these spiritual things, and the spiritual things are more real than the natural. Matter of fact, the things that you see, just look around you, even at yourself, are all created from the thing that you can't see, God's presence, God's ability, God's creation, created all that you see. So we are the results of really what's real on the other side. In that kingdom is what's real. I know I sometimes we gotta. In order for us to operate according to God's word and God's spirit, we need to take a hold of some of those concepts. You say, well, I don't want to believe that. I'm just as real as whatever. I said, well, one day you will find out that the thing that created us is more real than the thing that was created. We are the created things. What you see, all this beautifulness, this earth, it's wonderful. Some of it fantastic, fabulous. It's all been created. And here God has actually given us a glimpse of the real. Matter of fact, he put it on the inside of us. You and I are part of what's real. Interesting. I know I could probably explain that a little bit more, but I'm not. So I need to talk about one more thing in this growing in grace part here. I'm doing good. and that is, I talked about believing in your heart, because you finally get to the place where, I put it in there. I talked about it. I read it. I did what Curtis told me to do. I did it. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I did what the Holy Spirit told me to do, right? Doing what the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we get that relationship when we hear things. I know I sometimes say, what the pastor said? And not realizing that God's speaking through him, saying those things. So anyway, you hear that and you said, I've been talking the word, I've been praying, I've been studying, I've been hearing, but nothing's happening. Well, do you all remember the parable of the sower? Anybody? Everybody? Parable of the sower. The sower talks about, and I deal with this in the book as well. The sower talks about the different types of soil that your heart can be. Remember, the sower sows the word, which is the seed of God. He sows it as a seed. That word is sown in your heart as a seed. So, and then there's a certain ground that it falls on, and it's talking about you and I. Sometimes the ground it falls on is thorny and not very good for seeds. Sometimes it falls on the ground where the cares of life come in and choke it out. Sometimes it falls on a place where it just can't grow. It's a hard place. And you're like, what's going on? So we have to now temper our heart, prepare our heart, so that we can do what the last soil is, which says you receive the word with joy. Joy and delightfulness. So we have to make our hearts joyful when we receive the word of God. That's what praise and worship is for at the beginning of the services, if you hadn't kind of gathered that. Not a construct from me in the past, but I believe from the Holy Spirit, that we praise God to get our hearts joyous, to get our hearts feeling in the presence of God and just, oh, so malleable and, you know, ready to receive. Because without ready to receive the word of God, it just falls on deaf ear, or it just falls somewhere where it doesn't grow. Remember, some of it falls on the wayside ground. It just doesn't fall in the right place. And you say, dang, I got to do all this? Wow. Yes, you and I. But God gives us this grace, coming back around, that helps us to receive his word. And praise and worship and praise is a light thing. Some of us find it very hard to do. But he connects you with your salvation in praise, right? Because it was something that you couldn't do yourself. It's your gratitude, your praise and worship. It's your gratitude for him doing something that you could not do. And you can't even get around it. You can't say, well, I could have done that. I'd like to see you do that. We couldn't do it. Even if you had died on the cross thinking you would die for your own sins, you couldn't have done it because you had to be a prepared Lamb of God like our Savior Jesus was in order for it to take place. So we have to honor him and praise him, if nothing else but for that. Because through that one incident, you and I receive eternal life. You and I are going to live forever. Forever. You and I will live forever. Those who have not received him and does not count it for him to be their Savior will not. It is made for those who have believed in their heart, confessed with their mouth that he is, and we're going to live forever. Matter of fact, and some of you probably don't even know this, but I'm going to tell you right now, your eternal life has already started. Your body is a gateway, a doorway that keeps us from really our eternity. It's the only thing that's trapped us, and this is how I choose to say it, so it's not like everybody does. It's the thing that has trapped us in the earth. Can't be in the earth without a body. Have to have a body to be here. But when we die, guess where we get to go? Into eternity. You say, man, let this guy talk more down. Get him off this poor. It is our real life. It is our destination. It's where we're headed. We are citizens. He said, the Bible tells us that we sit together with him in heavenly places. As he is, so are we in the earth. When are we going to get a hold of that? When we grow up. We need to grow. We need to spiritually mature to understand what he's called us. And also, the purpose for us. In Romans also, I can't remember, I think it's in Romans 8, it talks about that the whole earth, the whole universe, is groaning with utterances and moanings. What? Waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. The spiritual mature. Not just the little children, but the sons, those who are mature, those who are able to take God's word for what he says and do what it says. Not only having at their disposal everything he says, but also manifesting everything he said. I got 3 minutes. So, on that note, the Bible says, you shall receive power. The Bible tells us you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. John testified about Jesus. He says, there's one coming after me that shall be, he shall not only baptize you with water, he shall baptize you with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire and power. Don't you need some of that in your life? Sicknesses and diseases crumble, dissolve the power of God. The fire of God burns it away. Chaff, stuff that doesn't belong there. How do we get it? We need to spiritually mature, because it talks about in the child of God, characteristics of children, that they operate in the gifts of the Spirit. They operate in the power of God. And I'm like I told you, I'm black and white, right? If I don't see any power of God, then I must not be operating correctly, or I must not have these gifts. God, give me some gifts, because I need to be what you were declaring that I can be. Not only just me, but you and me. Growing in grace, taking the word of God, and then becoming. I know that gets next to a lot of people, because our desire is not to do that. I got saved because I just wanted to be joyful and be, oh, happy. And I want my children to be happy and everybody be happy. I got saved, oh, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. And that's where it stops. I'm not putting that down. Don't look at me to say, oh, Kurt Peter, what no. No, I'm just saying this is what God has shared with me about me, basically, that I'm writing down, because it was so much. We need to grow spiritually, mature spiritually, grow in grace more and more and more, until every example that we see in the Word of God becomes us. We are fully clothed in God. God, Christ is completely formed in us. You know, Paul talks about that. Pressed toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, right? We're pressing toward that goal, that mark. What's the mark? I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like him. People are going to talk about you. Well, they talked about him too. They didn't like him. They didn't like what he did or what he said. They didn't like what he told them they needed to believe and what they needed to do. Remember that? Even his disciples, some of them went away because some of the things he said was hard to believe. But this is who we are called to be. And I know I'm trying my best to follow after what he's saying to me to tell you so that we all get an understanding of how to grow spiritually. Some people, when they first get saved, they get such an anointing and a power from God, and we're like, ooh, God is many ministering to them. But they're still babes, still learning. We've seen some of them fall over time, fall over themselves. Some of them, we don't even know where they are now. Those names that appeared and then whoosh, went away. But I believe that God wants those of us who are stable in the Word of God. Our pastor preaches this word he preaches it like nobody I know. He knows this. This is what we need to hear. For faith to grow, for grace to be imparted, so that we can make those steps in the Spirit to become more like Jesus. He said, I want to be more like, I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay right now. I'm all right. I'm just, you know, you go ahead and do that. And, you know, I'm fine. I've been reading the book, and I'm done. I've been reading the book, The Power of God by Smith Wigglesworth. And he gives just about every time he gives a sermon, he talks about how he has all these people seeking after the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And he said, they're seeking it, And the question came to me. I was like, why are they not getting it? Bible says he gives it freely. All you have to do is ask. Why are they doing this seeking God for the Holy Ghost? I mean, he's not our contemporary. So he was, I think he started his ministry in, I want to say 1960 something, 1961, 62, something like that. And he died in 1989, something like that. But a powerful man of God, signs and wonders in his ministry, talked about, you know, helping people to receive the Holy Spirit. But he always had in his meetings these people that were, they're seeking. Oh, seek it, bro, seek it. He would just encourage them to seek it, seek it. So why didn't I get it? And the Spirit of God just spoke to me. He said, they want something. They're not quite sure what it is that they want. Some guy said, I just want it. Give me anything. And he said, oh, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not anything. The Holy Spirit is the what? Third person of the Trinity. He is God. He is a person that he's trying to get us to come. He's been given to the whole world already. He's already been poured out. Why don't we want him more in our life? Why don't we want him more in us? Some of us are scared. I don't know about that. Sometimes it comes with a power that you can actually feel. Sometimes. Sometimes it comes with a knowing, and then your obedience, your faith and obedience causes the power to do whatever it needs to do. But why? Why are we so shy? We started off in salvation. It's almost like God said, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit. And then he put some little breadcrumbs down, and you get a little bit more. And you get closer and closer, then you get there. Oh, my God, you want me to do what? But by that time, it's too late. You can't go back. And you have to go. I found myself in that space. I was obedient. I got so far in, I went, oh, my God. Once the revelation came, there's nowhere else to go but him. Remember Paul? Not Paul, but Peter. And Jesus asked him, well, who do they say they are? And, you know, he told them, and he's like, well, do you want to leave? Remember, his disciples, some of them left, and he said, well, you want to leave? He said, who? Where am I going to go? You're the one who have the words of life. There's nowhere else for me to go but to you. I think he wants to get us all in that place where we realize, oh, where am I going to go? I got to stay right here with him. He's already brought me this far, and there's no other place to go. Amen? So I help you. Hope you have received something from the message today. Let me make sure I didn't. I have one scripture written. Oh, okay. We were just talking about it. I just didn't see it the same way that the scripture says that when you ask God, he says he'll give it to you. Just ask. Seek, you will find. Knock, the answer will be opened unto you. It's as simple as that, right? By us increasing our faith, you ask. God, increase my faith. God, increase my spiritual maturity. Increase my advancement in you. Increase how I trust you, how much I trust you. And just think, God, increase it. I want to just be more like you, God. It's just us asking. And in that asking, he will respond. Amen?